This segment, we're going to be talking about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It's going to be dealing with collective rebellion. And collective rebellion is a little bit different from the lesson we had last week. We talk about Miriam and Aaron. They rebelled against Moses, not knowing that they were coming against God. All they saw were their brother Moses. But we're going to move on a little bit further with what we call collective rebellion. This dealing with a group, a mass rebellion. When they come together in groups, people get together in groups and form a party against Moses, which really was against God. But very little did they know that they weren't just coming against Moses; they were coming against God Himself. And if I can get this thought in your soul that rebellion always ends up with God. It may seem like it's the person standing before you, the person that seemed to be the leader, or someone that may seem like you think they're making themselves an authority. But God is above all authority. All authority comes from God, and all authority is expected to be carried out. And God going to back it up. Those that are ordered under his leadership, God's leadership. Why did I say that? Because there's some make themselves authority and they're not under God's authority. You see it? All authority must be designated. That all authority that is designated should be under God's authority. There's no authority without God. And anything that's or anyone that's stated in authority and God is have no foundation of it, is self-made authority. And God abhors self-made authority. So we're going to be talking about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And we're going to have to begin reading over in the 16th chapter of Numbers. It's going to be a lot of reading, but it's good reading. And we're going to learn something today about collective rebellion. And we're going to learn that when the ball gets through rolling, it always ends up with God. So begin at verse 1, we're going to begin reading. And it says, now I can go into detail, explain who all these people were, but I'm going to save that for the latter part. But Korah was one of the leaders, and we're going to see the Levites get involved. Some of them were the spiritual ones. Some of them were God's people that worked in the tabernacle. And, well, they were leaders of the congregation. And that what made it so profound, because when leaders rise up, non-leaders rise up, people begin to take note because they say, these leaders all can't be wrong. But God don't deal with majority a lot of time. You see it? Because those that make themselves leaders are going to find out that they may not be leaders if they're not subjected to God. So Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. Now, all these came from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were all part of God's people that he has chosen for different aspects of duty. If you begin the first chapter of Numbers, you're going to see how God got with Moses and appointed to each tribe a specific work to be done. And all of them were to be under the leadership of Moses. And then God made some captains over a certain group and the captain over this one. When he got to Levites, he began to treat them a little different. He said, they are mine. He said, they're going to work for me because they're going to be dealing with the tabernacle and ministering to the people. But if you read the beginning, you find that everybody that was 20 on up and under 50 were those that were able to fight and able. They were enlisted and they were captain. So Moses, God used Moses to get all the people under one authority, but all working to the same goal. That's remind me of the body of Christ. Many members. That the head, Christ the head, but yet one body. And that's what God did with Moses. All the people, there were many members, but God had them working and synchronized like a fine working order machine to work together to do the work of God and to carry out his vision, carry out his commission. And Moses was the leader of all of this. It was a mighty responsibility Moses had. Matter of fact, he had the whole congregation under his leadership. Yes, he had those appointed, but the ball stopped with Moses. Moses had the last say-so, and God spoke directly to Moses, and Moses had to take what God told him and transferring his power, transferring of authority to those whom he had appointed as leaders in the congregation. But for some reason, these same leaders that were appointed began to seem like, they began to think that God, that not God, because they couldn't see God here, they saw Moses, that Moses wasn't doing anything right. And it began to bother some of them. And as we begin to read, I just have to give that little prelude and begin to read, you're going to see how all this thing going to come together, and you're going to find yourself in major trouble, major trouble. Be careful who you're following. Be careful who you're listening to when it comes to authority. Be careful of those that murmur and saying, this ain't right, that ain't right. Be careful, because you might find yourself in harm's way. I remember last week I made a statement. I said, I don't want to be the one that caused the vision to go off track, to slow the vision down, because God can hold you accountable and warn to that person that the enemy used to separate, divide, and to misdirect. That's a good word, misdirect people. So we're going to find out that Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they had misinformation. And so they're going to misguide some people, and a lot of people are going to suffer because of their misguidance. And whenever you get in rebellion, you might take some innocent people with you. When I mean innocent people, people are just going because everybody else is going. They have no knowledge of what's happening. Some of them had no knowledge of what was going on. And no, some of them didn't even know why they were supposed to be in the group. But that would happen when people follow people without information. You see it? Now let me read on, and we're going to find out. Let's go to the second verse. And they rose up. Who rose up? It was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they rose up before Moses. Before who? Before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, families in the congregation, men of renown. See, what they did, they tried to get men of importance, men that people respected in the congregation. And you know, if you begin to think about it, you might make this statement. You say, well, if brother so-and-so was going along with that, he's a pretty solid brother, then I might have to take note of what's happening here. And that's what was some of the problem. These men were of importance. These men have high position. These men have position of responsibility and accountability. So when they saw these men move a certain way, people began to say thoughts. Maybe Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they might be right of what they're saying. They might have a good argument. Okay, but let's go on and see here what happened. That third verse says, and they gathered themselves together. Now, every time you read the Bible, I would always say, when I'm reading the Bible, along teaching, along the line of spiritual authority, I would read the Bible, and I got the New Testament, and I was trying to find out instances of rebellion. And when I began to come to knowledge, I said to myself, every time you see the word against, is anti something. It's coming against a position of authority or someone that stands in authority. So when every time you see a word against, if you study on spiritual authority, underline it, highlight it, so you can know that could be a probability that this could be some rebellion in place here. And that's how I began to identify it all when the scribe and Pharisee came against Jesus. That was rebellion, man. I couldn't see before, but that word against jumped out at me. And now I understand every time I see rebellion in the Bible, I know trying to make it plain. It's preceded by the word against. It helped me in my study. You see it? So So they came against Moses, and they came against Aaron. So I'm still in the third verse. And they said unto them, hear what they said. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourself above the congregation of the Lord. I got another translation I want to read out of that. And I want you, the New Living Translation, and I want you to see what it has to say. Listen closely. Listen to what it said. And just bring it back in every day, because if you take good notes, or you take note of this lesson, you'll find out even this modern day church society, you see a lot of this going on, but you might not be able to pinpoint exactly what's happening. But this lesson will open up your eyes, and you begin to mark these things. When you hear people say certain things, I mark those things now, and I highlight it in my mind so I can know what's happening around me, so I can be a good eyewitness, and I can be a good servant for my spiritual leader. And the New Living Translation said, they united against Moses and Aaron and said, you have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord. In other words, it's saying everybody is God said everybody apart. God don't just use one person. And he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people? Don't that sound very familiar to you? Don't that sound familiar in a way, I'm saying, a way that this modern world thinks when it comes to authority, the modern church world thinks they may not see authority from God, but they see a person seem like they're overstepping their boundaries when it comes to authority. And look what happened here. Here's how Moses answered him. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah on his face, who? On his face before God. And he spake unto Korah, unto all his company, saying, and this how he defended his authority, by not trying to use his authority. Notice that statement I made. He defended his authority by not using his authority. He pointed directly to the Lord himself, because the Lord defends authority, not you. You don't ever defend your authority. Let God defend your authority. And here what he said. And he said unto them, even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And the Lord going to prove whom he had chosen himself. And he refused to try. Sometimes we try to prove things with words. Sometimes you got to go beyond words and let God be the proof. Because sometimes people, they especially today, they can make a play with words. You can say anything with words. But action speaks louder than words. He said, this do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in before them. See, they know how to do all that, because they worked among the tabernacle of before the congregation. And it shall be, it's a shame Moses had to deal with his leaders. Oh my, I didn't say something else now. It's a shame when a pastor, my goodness, had to deal with his leaders, those whom you have entrusted with you, those whom God, you believe God has caused you to appoint to certain positions of authority. And now you got to deal with people from that supposed to be working on the inside with you. And see, people that pull your inner circle, people that's supposed to be supporting you and holding you up, and like Moses had to have one of his hand held up by one of his men, because every time he held his hand up, Israel prevailed. And when his arm got tied, I think it's the Philistine prevailed. But people that's supposed to be garrisoned around you, your leaders, when they begin to doubt your leadership, it's beginning to stink in God's nostril. And the leadership has to deal with your inner circle. You know, it's one thing to deal with people that not on the inside. When I say the inside, I'm talking about that serving you and protecting you and keeping your hands up, your arms up, and upholding you and supposed to have your back. When they begin to come against you, that's a horse of a different color, if you don't mind me using that example. But I'm trying to get you to see something here. So Moses had to deal with the inner circle of the people. Those that was supposed to be, my goodness, those that was supposed to be protecting the pastor, protecting the leader, when they begin to come against you, that's when it hurts. It hurts spiritually. It even hurts emotionally, because sometimes you think people got your back, and then it turned another way, because the enemy has showed them something that ain't so. I got a word I need to define for you. Now I better go through this word right now while it's fresh on me. But this word here gonna help us to understand what's happened here in this right here. Let me make this statement here. They arbitrarily attack Moses and Aaron. Here's what they say. They said, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Jehovah is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourself above the assembly of Jehovah." Now I got a word I define. Give me a minute to find it, because this word here gonna kind of tell us exactly what happened here. Let me find this word here. I'll find it. Give me a second. I know it's in here. It's in here. Just hold on. Hold your horses. I got it here. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." I got it. Listen to this. Moses. I'm talking about Moses now. Thus did he answer the wrong spirit with a right spirit. That's what Moses did. What Korah and his party said was based on reason and conjecture. Now I want to define the word conjecture. Conjecture. And you might want to write it down, because it's a good place to put a test question. Conjecture means an opinion or conclusion formed on the basis of incomplete information. And I'm going to read it again. An opinion, or people make the conclusion on wrong information, or conclusion formed on the basis of incomplete information. And my point of going here, that's what Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were basing their claims on misinformation, incomplete information, because they had incomplete knowledge. So what happened here is, that's why you got to be careful who you're following, and make sure that they know what they're saying and they have the facts. So Moses began to present him before God, and he said, "Here's what you do." Let's go back to the fifth verse. "And he spake," Moses, he did, "and he spake unto Korah unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. Remember now, Moses is not defending himself. Who's going to show him who he is? He's not going to prove his own self-worth or self-authority. He said, the Lord is going to show you. In other words, you need this thing revealed to you. Sometimes people need a revelation, and sometimes before they can understand authority. Even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come nearer to him. This do, take you censer, Korah, and all your company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord will choose, he shall be holy. You say the whole congregation will be holy. He said, but he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Levi was God's chosen ones. Levi was the one that worked directly under God. They held the tabernacle of the congregation. They held the holy articles. They dealt with the sacrifices. And they had a very important job. And see, and God trusted them with this very important job here. And now these people that you depend on, Moses, coming against you. And Moses said, the 8th verse, unto Korah, here I pray you, you sons of Levi. Look what he said. Seem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel. In other words, don't take it lightly. See, some people take lightly the position of that the pastor, excuse me, that the pastor or spiritual leader have placed them in. They take it lightly. And sometimes they don't recognize that God put them there for a reason. And so they don't honor their position and how much God has to entrust you to uphold that position. He said, but seem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. You see the position they have? And so Moses trying to get them to see something here. And the 10th verse says, and he had brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? What is he saying? Now, you've got all this authority, but you want to take my position? Some people not satisfied with where the apostle or where the pastor put them, and they want a higher, notable position. They don't want to do the menial things that's important. If it wasn't important, they wouldn't ask you to do it. But they want a job, they want a position where they can be recognized and showing forth honor. And so it messed with them, and it's a prestigious position. And so they don't understand how God functions. For which cause both thou and all thy congregation are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, evidently, Dathan and Abiram wasn't present with Korah, but he sent for them, and he said, we will not come up. My goodness. I'm trying to think of something that I can compare this to. It's almost if your spirit, I got to relate it to where we are now, because this lust ain't doing no good if I don't relate it to the church, unto your position, to where you are present day. It's just like your pastor would ask you to do something, and you just flat out tell him, I'm not going to do it. My goodness. That's the same thing here. We will not come up. Is it a small thing? What are they doing here? They're going back and forth with Moses here. Back and forth in their argument as though they are equal with Moses. I can't even think of doing anything like that with my apostle. Going back and forth. Can you think of anything that you can do with your pastor or your spiritual leader where you can go back and forth in an argument with them? That, first of all, is disrespect and dishonor, because it makes you think you're equal to them. And far as God's concerned, you're not. I wish the church can see these things and see the position and honor that God had put spiritual leaders in, that the respect can come back to the ministry. Respect can come back to the church, where God can do what he needs to do to get his job and his will done upon the earth within the local churches. Listen, is it a small thing, going back and forth now, that thou hast brought us out of the land of that flowed with milk and honey? Did you hear what they're just saying? They call Egypt a land of milk and honey. My goodness. They must not have seen the same Egypt that Moses and God saw. Let me finish reading. He brought us out of a land that flowed with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. I got to read this again in the Living Bible. You got to see this, the 13th verse. Let me read it in the Living Bible. You got to see this. You got to see it. Look what it says. Are you listening? Isn't it enough? Now, this is everyday language here. Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in this wilderness, and that you now treat us like your subjects? My goodness. Everybody say, my goodness. It's something. This is something here. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. What they were saying is that if you look back into, I think it's the 10th chapter, when God sent the 12, when Moses sent the 12 spies out to go view the land out, and then they came back with a good report. The other 10 had an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb showed us the land of milk and honey. They're talking about the grapes and all the pomegranate and everything, how they were flourishing. And it was a good land, he said. And now they said, we don't see a good land. All we see is this desert here. All we see is this wilderness that you brought. All we see is our little children look like they're going to die, because all we got to eat is this manna here. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna in supper time. I'm tired of this manna. Now, in Egypt, we had all this good stuff. We had the garlic. Man, we had all this. We had meat to eat. Oh, the meat were killing them. They didn't know. Pastor teaching us that. But they're talking about lamb, milk, and honey, and there was no such thing. And Moses about to answer them now. 15th verse. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord. He didn't say it unto them. He said unto the Lord, Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I heard one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the doors of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. This is where the separation coming in now. See, God already proved his servant. He said, separate yourself. Who said that? The Lord said this unto Moses and to Aaron. Separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. My goodness. My goodness. Is that what God thinks when it comes to dealing with authority? Misrepresentative rebellion? Is that what God thinks? Is that God's judgment? Yes, that's God's judgment. But, you know, Moses and Aaron, they act as God's mercy. They became God's mercy. And the 22nd verse says, and they fell upon their faces and said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, that was the mercy of God. God heard Moses in his intercessory prayer. I wonder how many times a pastor has to go in intercessory prayer about his membership, about the leadership, when people begin to want to do things their own way, and they don't understand the vision, and they don't want to flow with the vision that God give them. How many times he got to go in intercession before God and ask God to have mercy upon them and most mercy upon them because they just don't understand. You see? And Moses, he said, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. Well, Moses tried to protect the whole congregation from the few. The Lord wants to destroy the whole congregation because all of them had gathered together with Korah. That's why you got to be careful who you get close to, who you let get close to you. Because sometimes some people have the wrong, they have a wrong motive. And you got to watch wrong motive. And so you got to be careful. And so the Lord told Moses, tell them to separate themselves from these people. Because I don't want to destroy the whole congregation. It's not my intention. But they got these three men here. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they're stirring up the people with the wrong idea, with misinformation, incomplete information. They don't know who I am. They don't know who Moses is. They never regarded Moses. They never took him and Aaron as my leaders. I appointed them. I made them who they are. I told him to tell you what he told you. He didn't say nothing on his own. And that's the way pastors lead. That's the way spiritual leaders lead. Sometimes, it seemed like they're trying to protect us and keep us. One scripture said they watch over our souls. And so sometimes we don't look at them as authority. We look at them equal, and we want to share the same revelation. You can't share revelation with spiritual leaders. Sometimes you want to share your revelation. Just keep your revelation to yourself. He don't want to hear your revelation. My goodness, how I get over that now? And sometimes we get spiritual, and your pastor won't share a revelation with you, and you got one better than his, and you won't show it. You need to be quiet when your pastor is talking to you, even personally, one-on-one. When I'm with an apostle, when I'm around that man of God, I let him talk and I listen. I don't try to swap revelation as though I'm equal with him. My goodness, the church got to learn that. We now have been taught that. You got to catch that. And so we got to learn how to submit to those God that put above us and how to yield to them and how to respect their position of authority. No, I'm not fussing. I just get stirred up because I see people want to swap revelation with their spiritual leader, that to make yourself equal with them. No, you're not equal with them. No, God, yeah, you might hear from God a little bit, but you're not going to get the revelation that God will show him. He'll cease being your leadership if God make him equal with you. Well, enough said about that, but it's truth anyway. I got this stuff on the inside. I see too much of it going on sometimes. Your spiritual leaders don't want to hear all your revelation. Keep all your revelation to yourself, to your four and no more. That's to run your family, run your household. Not to tell him, try to show him what you know so he can start preaching some of your revelation. I got to get off of that. I got to get off. It's true anyway. And let's look at the 28th verse. And my time is clock. My clock is ticking. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaining to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, after he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground, see, God heard Moses. And God used this very thing to judge them that came out of Moses' mouth, as though he had spoken it himself. And the ground clave of thunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their household, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And there was some, my goodness, I can bet when that ground opened up, some around the edge of the ground that didn't go down, and they said, "My goodness, I was a little bit too close." Sometimes you get a little bit too close to the wrong people. Sometimes you almost swayed to go with some of their crazy thinking, but you just missed the hole. When you just missed the hole, some of them just missed the hole. I mean, because it was too close to error, too close to following wrong leaders. But God destroyed them. I never seen that thing happen before, where the ground opened up and the people and all, they say even everything they had, all their goods and everything, went down to the hole. And all Israel, to a 34th verse, that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, "Lord, I'm so glad it wasn't me." No, it said, "Let the earth swallow us up also." If you were that close to say that, you were too close. You were too close for comfort. Separate. I'm saying like Moses said. Separate yourself from those of misdirected thoughts, misdirected ideas, those that have not understood the revelation of what God wanting to do. And then that 35th verse, I'm closing on this, it said, "And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offer incense. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he said, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, and take up the censers of the burning and scatter thou yonder, for they are holy." Class, I hope you caught a hold of this lesson. And it's so important that we understand this lesson. And you don't want to be a part of error. You don't want to get too close to people that speak the wrong thing. Because if you don't watch yourself, you're going to conform to their image. And they're going to begin to lead you and guide you into the way that God doesn't desire you to. So class, study your notes. Our test coming up soon. And you need to understand I'm going to deal with the highlights of these matters, okay? Go in peace.